I want to invite your attention to a very familiar and appropriate text for this morning, Psalm 100, which is a psalm of thanksgiving. I invite you to stand with me as we read in unison this wonderful passage of Scripture. Psalm 100, verse 1, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Amen. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. How many of you would say Thanksgiving is your favorite holiday of the year? It is truly a special, special holiday, and it is uniquely American. It's a day that we set aside to give God thanks for his many, many, many blessings to us. But the strange irony of all of that is this, that sadly, I would venture to say that too many in America, Thanksgiving is all about a feast, plenty of turkey, football, parades, and we're already thinking about the launch of the Christmas holiday and who's going to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to go shopping on Black Friday. Instead of saying this is a day that has been set apart for me to give thanks. When we in America are the blessed of all people in this world. Oh, how we take the blessing of being Americans for granted. And should we not, because of all that God has lavished upon us, be of all people most grateful? And why then do we not take this one day to say, Lord, I thank you? And sadly, all of those in the world, why are we so ungrateful when we've been the most blessed? I hate to say it, but the reality is so many in America have just become spoiled brats. We just take everything for granted. If we could only see how people live in third world countries. I'll tell you, when I had the privilege of going to Nigeria some years ago, it was such an eye-opener because we just take for granted all that we have, and the poorest in America are richer than so many who live in other parts of the world. I'm reminded of President Lincoln's famous Thanksgiving Proclamation of 1863. I don't know if we're aware, but when President Lincoln said the fourth Thursday of every November would be a Thanksgiving celebration, it was in the midst of the Civil War, and America had already lost 100,000 of its men. Can you imagine? But that wasn't the worst of it. And by the time the war ended in 1865, over 620,000 Americans would be killed. That is more than all of those who died in World War I, World War II, and the Vietnam Wars combined. Yet Lincoln, in the midst of America's saddest and darkest hour, said, "We have cause for thanksgiving, and we need to be thankful." And part of that statement and proclamation was this: our blessings should solemnly, reverently, and gratefully be acknowledged with one heart and one voice by all Americans. And I trust today that somehow those words would resound in all of our hearts, that regardless of, can I say it, our political party, regardless of our background, regardless of our ethnicity, we are Americans. And especially those of us who are children of the Most High God. We belong to the kingdom of God, and we have so much for which to give God thanks. Yet in America, so many find so much to complain about. Would to God that we could find common ground today to say we thank God for America and for the privilege of belonging to this great country. The sadder reality this morning is that as kingdom Christians, sometimes we act like church people. I talk a lot about the difference between kingdom people and church people. I'd like to believe that at High Street Worship Center, we're not like the masses of people who are darkening church doors today, and they're going through a religious ritual and a religious formality. But kingdom people come to the house of the Lord because they know the true and the living God, and they worship Him in spirit and in truth. But sadly, sometimes there are even kingdom Christians who become infected with the same level of ingratitude, and instead of finding common ground in the cardinal doctrines of our faith that unite us as one in Jesus Christ, and instead of being grateful for all that we see God doing through His church and through those who belong to Him, instead we would rather split hairs and split churches. God have mercy on those who are behaving in that kind of a way. How can we expect better from the world when the Church of Jesus Christ falls into such a pit of everything that is antithetical to Christ, to His love, and who calls us to a oneness and a unity in Him, regardless of the name of your denomination, regardless of the church that you grew up in? If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, if you're washed in the blood, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, and you embrace those cardinal doctrines of the faith, that there is one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God and Father of all, who is in us all and through us all, then we have something in common and something that unites us as one in Jesus Christ. So of all people today, as kingdom Christians, this is not a mere holiday for us, but we understand that Thanksgiving is not only one day a year. But as kingdom Christians, we are called to thanks living. It's the mandate of God's word. The Apostle Paul is so clear as he writes to the church at Thessalonica, be thankful in all circumstances, not only on Thanksgiving Day, not only this time of the year, but in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong in Christ Jesus. That is not an option. That is the will, the revealed will of you. There are a lot of Christians who scratch their heads and say, I just want to know what God's will is for my life. Well, how about starting right there? To give thanks in all circumstances. And in Colossians 3:17 we read, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Everything that we do. Oh, I've got to go to church today and be a greeter. Lord, thank you for giving me the opportunity to represent you at High Street Worship Center and to put on the smile of God because you're living in my heart and I could share your love with those who walk into this church. That's the lifestyle to which we are called. And we would do well to ask ourselves and challenge our hearts today. Are we grateful to God in all of life's circumstances? And do we give thanks? Sadly, I think sometimes we're like the Israelites who saw the miraculous power of God as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 long years. It wasn't a day that God proved Himself faithful. It wasn't a week. It wasn't a month. It wasn't a year. It was for 40 long years. And yet they still murmured and complained when they were faced with the opportunity to go into the promised land. Did they not remember the miracle at the Red Sea? Did they not remember how the water came gushing out of the rock at Horeb? How God poured down manna from heaven that fed them for 40 years? How God faithfully gave them meat to eat? And how their shoes and their clothing never wore out. God proved himself faithful. Is it any wonder the psalmist does say, forget not all of his benefits? What is it about human nature that unless we're living under the discipline and control of the Holy Spirit, we seem to easily so drift to that which is negative? Do you ever notice we never have to try to complain? We never have to try to be negative. It just comes naturally. We just do it. But to be thankful, that takes some effort. It takes some energy. It takes some initiative on our parts. But I believe that if we exercise in a way in which we allow the Holy Spirit to dwell in us, he would cultivate within our hearts a thankful and a grateful disposition. But because it doesn't come naturally to us, I want to suggest this morning that we allow Psalm 100, this psalm of thanksgiving, to be the mantra of our lives and the daily reminder that God calls us to a life of thanks living. I don't know if you've noticed in your Bible, but if you have the English Standard Version, that the superscription above verse 1 reads like this, a psalm for giving thanks. In some other translations of the Bible, you see labels like a hymn of praise. And it would seem that thanksgiving and praise are interchangeable terms. Thanksgiving and praise are so closely aligned, yet they are different and they are distinct. But I believe that when we give thanks to God, we are also giving him praise. But notice what follows thanks. It's praise. David said in Psalm 7, I will give thanks first to the Lord because of his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Let's understand the distinction between thanksgiving and praise. When we offer our thanksgiving to the Lord, we are offering thanks to him and our appreciation to him for a specific reason or a particular gift. Whereas praise does not depend on anything that God does or doesn't do. Rather, it's an expression of our devotion that we direct to God because we see him in all of his grandeur. We see him in all of his glory. We see him in all of his marvelous grace and love. And from our hearts, there pours out praise to him. So praise goes beyond thanksgiving because it expresses the amazement at the wonder of God's love for us as his children. Undeserving though we are, sinners who are saved by his grace, we come to see and to know a God that we see who is more than we could ever hope or dream for. He exceeds our fondest expectation and anticipation. He does above and beyond all that we can ask or even think, and so we praise him. In thanksgiving, we say thank you for your benefits, but in praise, we say, God, you are my benefit. Like he said to Abraham, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. And David in this psalm specifies the two reasons why we're to give thanks and to give grateful praise. And they're in verse 3. Number one, the Lord is God. When we acknowledge who God is, we will both thank him and praise him. And when we, in verse 5, see that the Lord is good and see all that God has done for us personally, all that God has done for us as his people, all that God has done for us as a nation, how can we not stop and say, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done? Let me illustrate it this way. Thanksgiving is like a child who opens a gift. It's a gift that they've been wanting for such a long time. And after they open the gift, they're so excited, they run up to mommy and daddy and they wrap their arms around them and they say, "Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I love you so much. I wanted this so badly. And I got it, I got it, I got it." But the difference between thanksgiving and praise is what happens when that child stops and looks away from the gift into the eyes of their mom and dad and say, "Ah, you are so wonderful. You are the best parents in the whole wide world." And it's not just about the gift, but they see how much mommy and daddy love them and how much mommy and daddy care for them. And they just express through their eyes the appreciation and love and devotion and affection they have for their parents. So this morning, yes, we do thank God for his grace, for saving a wretch like me, but we praise him for his great love that would cause him to willingly go to that cross and to die for us. We thank God for the forgiveness of sins, but we praise God for his great mercy that the Son would take upon himself the Father's wrath, and that the Word of God would tell us that it pleased the Father to crush his Son. How can we not praise him for such love and such mercy and such grace? We thank him this morning for answered prayers, but we praise him today because he is our great high priest, whoever lives to make intercession for us. Do you understand what's going on in heaven today? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he ever lives to make intercession for you and for me. And as he said to Peter, he's speaking to our hearts today, and he says, "Sandra, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not." He's saying to you, "John, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. I'm praying for you that you would receive the fullness of my love, and that you'd be able to begin to plumb the depths and the heights of my grace and mercy for you." Let's understand this morning that God is so good that he deserves not only our thanks, but also our praise. And if you need help in doing that, I was so blessed to come across this piece by Dr. Jack Hayford. I think many of you know Dr. Hayford. He wrote that grand song, "Majesty." Worship is majesty. He's a real statesman in the body of Christ. But he said to help himself, to remember the things. Because if I were to ask you this morning, what should we praise God for? Can you think of the things about which, who God is, that you want to praise him for? So he decided to, every letter of the alphabet, he would list why he should praise God. A, he's the Almighty, beautiful, creator, dependable, everlasting, fulfiller, glorious, holy, immutable, Jehovah, kind, loving, mindful, new, omnipotent, precious, quick, righteous, sensitive, terrifying, not to me, Lord, but to your enemy. They flee before you. Undergirding, victor, wonderful, excellent, yesterday, today, and forever the same, and zestful. Life has no dull moments while I live my life with you. I've made copies of this. Make sure you pick one up as you leave the church house this morning. Let's understand that which brings us to praise is first our thanks for all that God has done. And that's what I want to hone in on this morning, the importance of being thankful to the Lord. Do you know in the scriptures, 116 times, the Bible speaks about giving thanks to the Lord? And 73 times of that word thanks, there's a specific reference to our responsibility of giving the Lord thanks. Our thanks needs to go beyond just, "Oh yeah, God's been good to me. I need to say thank you." It needs to go beyond just saying thank you. It needs to come from the depth of our heart, recognizing and acknowledging every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, and with a grateful heart, we give him thanks. So there's a big difference. While we're praising God, we could think, well, God, what do I want to praise you for? God, your love. And it becomes almost more an intellectual thing. What are your attributes that I should be praising you for? But what about what's in your heart? What's in your heart? I'm sorry about this. We take so many blessings for granted. And how often do we thank God even for the life and the breath that we have? How many of us got out of bed this morning and said, Lord, I thank you for waking me up. I thank you for the breath of life that I could go to your house this morning and exhale that breath in praise and in thanksgiving to you. I came across this quote this week that really challenged me. We've been given 86,400 seconds in each and every day. Will we use one of those thousands of seconds to just give thanks to God? How many of us need to hang our heads in shame? Because how often do we just go through a day and never even think about, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. We get up in our warm homes that have warm showers, food on the table, four wheels to get into so we get to our jobs, a job, our families, our vocations, our avocations, all that God has blessed us with that we just take for granted. God is saying, are you willing to give me some thanks and give me some praise? Let's understand this morning that praise and thanksgiving do not bow to what we feel at the moment. But what does the psalmist say? Your praise will continually be in my mouth. Our days don't always go like we'd like them to go. Circumstances don't always fall in our favor, but even in those times, in the good times and in the bad times, we are to praise God because this is the protocol of heaven. You enter into my gates with thanksgiving and into my courts with praise. Do we want the presence of God in our life? Well, the only way you get into the gate that leads you into the court of God's presence is through thanksgiving. That's the protocol of heaven. Praise then becomes the way into worship. And then our worship is the way into an intimate encounter with God. Like no other intimate encounter that you have ever had, something that brings such ecstasy, such joy, such peace, such overwhelming love, such transformation. One moment in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords can bring transformation and change to your life like nothing else ever can or ever will. But where does it all begin? It begins with thanksgiving. So you thank God for what he's done, and then you praise him for who he is. I love how David Edwards illustrates this in his book, Worship 365. I guess you get what that title is all about. Every day of our life is an opportunity to praise God. He says this, when we praise God, we're ringing the doorbell, making our presence known, letting him know that we've come to see him. And when he hears our praise, he gets up to open the door and he invites us to come in. In other words, praise is the vehicle into God's presence. And then worship is what we do once we get into his presence. You know, there's something about worship. I know we all have our ideas about worship. And we talk about praise and worship. I think we need to talk about thanksgiving and praise. Because then when it comes to worship, most of the time when it gets to worship, you're just undone. You're just undone, as Isaiah was. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple, and the glory of God was so thick in that place that he was just undone, and all he could say was, holy, holy, holy. I love what Steve Jenks said last week. Holy refers to God who is so totally other than. We often think about holy as something that is pure, as something that is consecrated, and it is. But holy in its truest essence is referring to God who is other than. You know love? But it's not like God's love, because God's love is other than any other love you could ever experience. You know mercy, you know grace. It's nothing like God's love, God's mercy, God's grace. It's a holy love. It's a holy mercy. It's a holy grace. It's the essence of who He is. And when you see that and you experience that, you just fall down, prostrate before Him, and you say, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." He's worthy of our worship and our praise. So David said, "But you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." You want to invite God's presence? Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Because when you start praising Him, He seats Himself upon His throne and brings His presence to us and reveals Himself to us. See, we talk about one of the attributes of God as being omnipresent. God is everywhere present at the same time. And He could be that because God is a spirit. He's not human. He's not limited by these human physical limitations. He's spirit. And He says, "Am I not He who fills the heaven and the earth?" But why don't we always experience His presence? Because we're not always in that atmosphere of praise and then worship. Because when we praise and worship Him, then He reveals His presence. There's a difference between God's presence in all the earth and the revealed presence of God that comes as the result of the worship that we bring to Him. I'm just going to mention these things. The path to praise and thanksgiving is outlined for us in Psalm 100. And I'm just going to mention them briefly. The first, and they're actually commands in God's word. The first command is shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. You know, I will enter His gates, we sing sometime, with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. And the psalmist speaks so much about shouting unto the Lord. I know that some of us come from really reserved backgrounds, and we don't think it's just really appropriate in a church because you need to be reverent and quiet. But if you read your Bible at all, there's nothing quiet. And if you read about what's happening in heaven right now, there's nothing quiet about thousands of angels and the redeemed of the Lord who are bowing before the throne and crying, "Worthy, worthy, worthy," and all praise and honor and glory and power and dominion and might and majesty be unto the Lamb forever and forever. There's something right about shouting unto the Lord. That's bringing Him praise. And how can we help but praise Him when we see all that God has done? I was just thinking about that wonderful gospel chorus that we sing. "Look what the Lord has done. He's healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me just in time. I'm going to praise His name each day. He's just the same. Come on and praise Him. Look what the Lord has done." Do you feel like that this morning? Look what the Lord, what's He done for you today? How's He blessed you? How's He touched you? How's He changed you? How's He delivered you? Why don't we give Him some? I just feel like we need to stand. Let's just give God some praise today. Lord, we just open our mouths. We worship You. We praise You. We bless You. We say, "God, You are so good. You are so merciful. You are so kind. Oh, God, we say thank You."